This morning I kind of feel like a dad. And I just want to share my heart with you. For those of you who are watching online and are maybe not part of this community, we had a tragedy in this community this week that took DL, Detroit Lakes, by kind of shocked, a shockwave. As a young girl, a teenage girl, who took her own life this week. It has certainly rocked the local high school, many kids. I've had a couple of parents contact me, and I know other clergy have had some of the same conversations. You know, we talk about God intervening and we see miracles, and then all of a sudden we see a tragedy like this, and it's hard for us to wrap our brain around. We have a little girl over here who's really hurt. There's really a good friend of hers. And you just have a hard time coming to church and raising your hands and saying, you know, we know God is good, but we know that God is good. So this morning, I just want to take a few minutes. You know, when somebody takes their own life, we don't know what's going through their head. I don't know. I wish I could tell you that we could rewind the tape and go, you know what, I saw this and I saw that and I saw the other, but we can't do that. From this day on, life goes forward. I know that Wendy was telling me that M State is putting on a program starting February 7th. It's actually a 5-week program where they're looking at mental illness and they're interviewing people and they're talking to people who've gone through some of these struggles, anxiety and depression and fear. Look, folks, as a church overall, the church has kind of been afraid of the thing that we call mental illness. If Brad over here falls and breaks his arm, I'm going to say, man, let's get you into the hospital. And we'll pray for you, but let's get you into the hospital. Well, we're afraid of mental illness. We don't see it. We can't quite put our finger on it. It's time to stop being afraid. It's not the first time I've experienced suicide. I want to tell you, it is it's something you just can't wrap your brain around. It's such a loss. A little girl, Prisca Greer, she's made in the image of God. That's what Scripture says. She's made in the image of God, and for some reason, she just couldn't get through. We need to pray for her family. We need to pray for the kids at the high school. We need to pray for her friends. These are difficult times. It's confusing. It's hurt. You just can't grab a hold of it. And the truth of the matter is, in the next weeks and months, there's going to be hurts. There's going to be accusations. People will try to come up with some kind of a reason that this happened, and so they'll actually accuse people. I want to tell you that Scripture says that Satan's the accuser of the brethren. He is the one where those accusations come from. The Bible says he's a liar and he's the father of all lies. I don't know what was going on in her mind, but I know when you just come to an end. I was an elder at the church in Hibbing, an associate pastor, and we had a young man in our church commit suicide, and I got a hold of his Bible. And I looked through the Psalms and I saw the torment that he must have been going through. Every negative thing that David went through, he underlined. There was just something that he was going through. Look, folks, we need to stand together as a church. She was not from this church. That doesn't make any difference. We need to stand together as a church and be praying for kids in this community, praying for schools, praying for a teacher, praying for her parents. There's more garbage going on in our school system now than we can even imagine. If you're over the age of 30, you have no idea what is going on in the schools. No idea, unless you're a teacher. no idea. We just don't get it. It's not the way it was when we were young. The pressures, the bullying, the hurts, the things that kids are going through. I've done more counseling in the last 6 months with young kids dealing with high school stuff, and it seems totally bizarre to me. As a dad, it seems just crazy. We never dealt with those things when I was a kid. We didn't deal with those kinds of pressures. Our school systems need believers to stand up and to be strong. We need to reach outside of our comfort zone and try to understand what kids are going through, what families are going through. If there's ever a time for us to be a light in the darkness, today is the day because of the darkness. A couple of things that have just really struck me as I prepared for this morning. In the midst of this tragedy, the enemy comes and he begins to whisper, she's free, she's out, she's free, the pain's gone. Don't believe that lie, folks. Don't believe that lie. God has a better way. He has a way of hope. He has a way of life. He has a way of peace. He's got more for us. Do not let the enemy rob you. Do not. If you've been lied to, you need to grab a hold of those thoughts and say, I am not going to listen to that garbage anymore. Find another source. Find someone who can speak hope, someone who can speak life, someone who can speak peace into your mind. Do not grab a hold of that and hang on to it. If you find yourself in a position of bullying, I have a list of things that I'm going to preach on. Bullying's been on my list for a while. You find yourself in a position of bullying, whether you are doing the bullying or you are receiving the bullying, stop it. Stop it. Adults, if you're walking around your house and you find yourself condemning and criticizing and pushing and putting down people and bullying people around your children, stop it. Stop it. Do not do that. You set a tone. You set a tone that says, it's okay. 1993, I was in my basement, December 1st, I'm in my basement, working on something, and Annette calls me up. Hey, you got to come upstairs and watch the news. Something just really tragic just happened. There was an airplane crash about 2 miles from our house. Last night, I watched the final NTSB report on that plane crash. 18 people were killed because the pilot was a bully. He was a bully. He didn't like what the airlines had done. He didn't like the way the contract was. And so what he would do is he would take the airplane and try and scare the people on the airplane. And as he's coming in for an approach, he wobbled the plane and scared all the people in there. And he bullied his co-pilot so the co-pilot wouldn't tell him what his altitude was, because every time he said something, he berated him and he bullied him. And they ended up flying that plane right into the side of a mine dump and killed 18 people plus the two pilots. Bullying is not acceptable. It is not acceptable. Students, if you see somebody bullying somebody else, stand up. And if you can't stand up, grab somebody who can. This is not acceptable. Parents, if you're in that spot where you're willing to call somebody names, where you're willing to accuse, Satan is the accuser of the brother. He's the bully. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Don't go down that road. Don't open that door for your kids. The Apostle Paul says, we're supposed to take our thoughts captive. I don't know what was going on with this girl. But I know there's, God has grace. He has grace. He has grace for each one of you. If you knew this girl, if you knew this family, please, 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 don't try to figure out why. Be a grace dispenser. I'm going to ask that we just take a minute and pray. We just need to pray for this family. Father God, we just bring the Greer family before you. We bring her friends, the students, student body. God, I just pray for an overwhelming sense of peace. I pray that your presence, God, would reside in their household, would reside in their family. I pray you'd help that mom and dad accept your grace and not be beat up by the enemy, not be beat up by the thoughts. God, I pray for the student body and the school board and the school directors, God, that they would understand that your peace is what needs to reign. Your presence is what needs to reign. God, we pray for life in this school district. We pray for life over this high school and over these students. I pray that you would bring hope. God, that you would breathe life. Help us to realize, God, that there may not be an answer. We've got to stop fighting to try and figure that out. Lord, I pray for this community. I pray that as believers we would get involved. We would not sit on the outside and say, well, that's too bad. But that we'd be part of the answer. We'd be part of the light. We'd be the light in this dark time. This little girl's got lots of brothers and sisters. God, I just pray you'd bring peace in your household. Your presence would be there. Bless each one of her friends, God. Help them to know that accusing and pushing and it's not gonna help. Help them to find life by supporting each other. In Jesus' name. Amen. I said that God has a better way. You say, well, what does that look like? Let me address that right now. Let me address that. That is a doctrine that's been around for a long time. If you commit suicide, that you go to hell, okay? I do not believe that is correct scripturally. We have no basis for that scripturally. Scripture says that man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. There is no doctrinal evidence. You won't find proof in scripture that says if somebody takes their own life that they're going to hell. That is false. That's false doctrine. The reality is if I believe in Jesus Christ, if I have accepted Jesus Christ, then I have eternal peace and eternal life with him. That's what scripture declares, okay? There is nothing in scripture that would indicate that that is true. Absolutely nothing. Bring peace. Set your mind at peace. That is a doctrine, a religious doctrine that has been around that there is no scriptural foundation for. Jesus told the thief on the cross when he, this day I will see you in paradise. Today. One repented. One said he was sorry. The issue is, do we repent? Have we accepted Christ Jesus as our Savior? If we've accepted Christ Jesus as our Savior, that's the hope. That's the life that we have. There is no...
The lie is that the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, and because this person kills themselves, they cannot ask forgiveness cross did not ask forgiveness. He just spoke that he knew who Christ was.
Yeah.
And was taken.
He acknowledged Christ.
Absolutely. And it's also, for somebody to get to that point, there's a mental illness going on. Not crazy.
Do you want to speak to that?
Well, I'm just saying there's depression and all these different things cause us to have different thought patterns. And the process is God has enough grace to realize when somebody is ill, that they're ill. And the choices we make sometimes are fit into that also. But to say that our God's so limited that he can't accept someone because they were so ill or felt so depressed or so lacking of hope at that moment that they can't accept Christ, that's just foolish.
My name is Joey, and
today's
I have dealt with mental illness quite well. I am seeing doctors on medications right now. They have been praying that you can live no more.
This is real stuff, folks. This is real stuff. If we don't want the church to get real, then I guess we're going to have to go someplace else because this is real stuff. This is what communities deal with. It's what families deal with. This is what we deal with because we're part of each other. Joey struggles with anxiety and depression. We need to be praying for him. We need to be praying for him. We need to understand that.
In the 1940s, teachers were surveyed, and they said, what are the top three problems that they're facing? And they said it was running in the hallways, butting in line, and chewing gum. That was in the 1940s. If they only had that problem now, that'd be fantastic. But our teachers are on the front line of darkness. These kids are lacking parents. They're lacking Christ in their lives, and so they're struggling in the world, in the school. They're struggling in darkness. When somebody doesn't have Christ or doesn't have a strong understanding of who Christ is, you're alone out there. And oftentimes kids will look to other kids for their self-assurance. If you think I'm okay, then I must be okay. If you think I'm okay, I must be okay. But start putting on Facebook that I'm horrific or I'm stupid or I'm dumb or I'm ugly. Before long, I believe those truths. I believe those lies that Satan gives as true. And so we come to realize that, yes, we as a church, man, if somebody's in the hospital, we rush up there to see them. But when somebody's struggling with mental illness, oftentimes they struggle that alone. And Satan loves to get you alone, because when he gets you alone, you're like that gazelle out in Africa that's sitting off from the herd, and it's easy to attack. And so mental illness is one of the most prominent issues we have in this country today, but we don't look at it because, for one, people feel shame to say I have a mental illness, but every one of us has been mentally ill at some point in our life. If you're down, if you're depressed, if you're sad, you're mentally ill that day. There's a health issue in your mental health. So we come to realize that it's a real issue. And so maybe we as a church need to explore how we can then support. We can come alongside, that we don't have to look at the shame, because oftentimes people feel shame. They feel an outcast and society treats them that way. And so now they're really alone. I can't look to you, or I can't look to you because I can't admit I've got this issue going on. You'll think I'm weak, or you'll think there's something wrong with me, or mental illness, the first thing you think of is crazy. So I'm scared now. I'm scared of you. But every one of us faces mental health issues each and every day. We're up, we're down, we're happy, we're sad. All those are mentally ill issues at that point or that moment of our day. It's just that some people, because of chemical imbalances or life issues, things have been cast on them. They haven't chose to live this way, but because of their parents, because of situations, they've been forced to live this way, and it impacts them in a great way. They have poor coping skills, or they have different ways of handling things in life, and oftentimes it's a dysfunctional way of handling it. And then we sit alongside, and we need to come alongside and help them understand that Christ can give the strength, and we can give the strength through Christ to help them.
And that's part of what the church's responsibility is. We need to be reaching out. We need to be reaching out in the darkness.
We definitely have to be proactive in the schools. Everything went downhill when they took the Bible out of the school. They took prayer out of the school. There's a direct correlation. You can't deny that.
I believe that there's a, we in the center of the country are 10 to 15 years behind what goes on in the coasts. And if we look at what's gone on in the coasts, look what's gone on in California, look what's gone on in the East Coast and West, that stuff comes our way. I dealt with a young girl not that long ago who's dealing with, she's 15 years old and she's got friends at 12 and 13 declaring that they're gay. They don't even know if they like mayonnaise or Miracle Whip yet. And they're dealing with stuff that we've never dealt with. We don't look at that. It's coming up in front of them, and the enemy just wants to destroy. And so I'm just saying we need to plug in somehow, some way. Barry's right. You know what? We tend to grab a hold of these things for one Sunday or two Sundays. I'm probably not going to get up and make this plea again. But somehow we need to grab a hold and say, you know what? We need to do something. We need to shine light. We're living in a dark day, folks. We're living in a dark day. I read a book this past week, and it just shocked me. I had to put it down and slide my chair away from the desk. This author said, I could pull it right, if I had the book, I could pull it right out in front of me. This author said, when it comes to Christian values in our culture, we have lost the war. Let that get a hold of you for a second. We lost. We didn't do it right. We haven't done it well. Culture has always been against Christianity. We lost that battle. You say, well, why do we do church? Because we're still the light. It's just that we've lost that battle in culture. Now is when we need to all the more shine the light. Our culture is not going to just go the way God wants. But you and I have the opportunity to invite Christ into our life on a daily basis and then be dispensers of that light. I'm not going to preach through the book of John just to preach through the book of John, but I want to share what the scriptures this morning we're going to look at, because I think it's real. I think it's relevant. In the book of John, chapter 2, starting in verse 1, on the third day a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus and his mother were there. And Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. Verse 3, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Jesus said, woman, why do you involve me? One translation says, this has nothing to do with me or with you. My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, I love her response. Jesus said, this doesn't have anything to do with me. And she said, just do what he says. I have a problem. That's your problem. It's not my problem. Just do whatever he says. She anticipated, she expected that Jesus was going to come on the scene and he was going to do something. Nearby there stood 6 stone water jars, the kind that the Jews used for ceremonial washing, holding between 20 and 30 gallons of water. And Jesus said, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. And he told them, now draw out some and take it to the master of the banquet. And so they did. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine, and he did not realize where it had come from, though the servants knew where it had come from. And he called the bridegroom aside, and he said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. What Jesus did in Cana of Galilee was the first sign through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. I'm not going to preach my sermon just to preach my sermon. I'm going to tell you what Scripture says here. First of all, I'm not going to argue the case for whether this was wine or grape juice. Jews didn't serve wine at a wedding then. They don't serve wine at a wedding now. It was wine. We're told throughout Scripture, be careful not to drink too much wine. It was wine. Jesus made wine. Put that to sleep. This was not a Western wedding. This was an Eastern wedding. It didn't take place over the course of an hour or two. It took place over the course of a week. The bride in our culture is the focus. In this culture, the groom was the focus. Sorry, dude, you lose. She's the focus. Guess what? In their culture, the groom also paid for everything. Oh, happy day. So there's a wedding. There's a wedding. Partway through this wedding, there's a problem. The problem is we're out of wine. This is a reflection on the groom. It's a reflection on the groom's family. It's humiliating. It's embarrassing. One commentary I read said that guests could actually sue the groom for up to half of the cost of their gift if they were not satisfied with the surroundings, satisfied with the event, satisfied with what took place. Jesus steps in. Jesus' mother comes to him. Mary comes and says, they ran out of wine. And he's like, this is not my time. I don't have anything to do with it. But he was invited to the wedding. Step number one, make sure you invite Jesus to the party. I don't care what your party is. I don't care if it's work. I don't care if it's school. I don't care if it's sports, if it's extracurricular. I don't care if it's your family, if you're parenting, if you're raising kids, if you're raising grandkids, if you're raising great-grandkids, invite Jesus to the party. If he is not there, you don't have any hope. Sorry, you're out of wine. It's going to go bad. Invite Jesus to the party. First step. You got a struggle going on. You got problems going on. There's things in your life that you can't handle. That's the reality. Invite Jesus to the party. You need him. Trust me. You need him in your life. The second thing that takes place. Mary says, I really don't care what he's saying. Just listen to him. He's telling me he's not really part of this. I don't think it was a disrespectful thing. You read through it in the original language. I don't think Jesus was disrespecting his mother. But we need to listen to him. Mary says, whatever he says, do, that's what you do. Do that. Jesus said, go and fill those jars, somewhere between 120 and 180 gallons. Fill them with water. Just fill them with water. Don't fill them with grape juice. Don't fill them with decaffeinated coffee. Don't fill them with Coke. Don't try to please somebody. Fill them with water. Just fill them with water. Invite Jesus to the party. Listen to what he has to say. The third step is really critical. The third step is you got to do. How many of you have listened and have heard and have not taken the step to do what he told you to do? They're just water jars. We're just putting water in there. That sounds kind of silly. I don't want to be embarrassed. I'm not going to. I know he said that we should do it, but I'm not. I don't know if we should do that. We need to do what he says. We need to do. Maybe you're 50 years old and going to college, and God tells you you need to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and write some curriculum for a new program. And you can say, I'm not getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm just going to lay here in bed because it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And yet God has miraculously used Mary to write a curriculum that is now being used in school districts around the country. Little Mary sitting over here. God will use any of us if we are willing. Here he used servants. He used servants, and they took this juice. They took this to the master of the ceremonies. And he's like, man, usually you bring out the good wine to begin with, and then after everybody's lit, you bring out the cheap stuff. You brought out the good stuff at the end. See, the end was better than the beginning when you invite Jesus in and you obey what he says to do. You listen for that still small voice, and you step out in that still small voice and you go, you know what, I don't understand this. I don't know why I'm doing it. It seems silly, but we step out in it, and the end is better than the beginning. Amen? Because it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about his hope. It's about his life. It's about his peace. It's about his strength. You say, well, how is it going to get any better? It's going to get better when we invite Jesus in to our world, to our party, to our wedding, to our workplace, to our struggle. Invite him in. And here's the deal. They didn't wait until there was a problem for him to be invited in. He was there already. It wasn't like, hey, we ran out of wine. Somebody should go find Jesus and invite him to the wedding. He was there. Invite him into your life today. Invite him in. You will not regret that. I'm telling you, you will not regret it. Jesus comes in and he makes the difference. He makes the difference. I'm done. I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm done. Here's what we need to do. We need to invite him in. We need to listen to him, and we need to obey what he says. Amen. In this upcoming weeks and months, if you have some way to get involved with a student, what Wendy shared about what's going on at M State, and they're looking at 5 weeks. She said what they did was they took a video camera and they interviewed people who were dealing with mental illness. They interviewed them, and then they have a camera that acts like that person looking at a test or looking at getting up and what they go through. We need to recognize that. We need to get involved. We need to be light in that dark place. Invite Jesus in to your party. Hear what he's saying. Obey what he's saying. And end will be better than the beginning. And constantly. Constantly. Mike?
One thing that we can all do is pray for the teachers, because there's a lot of false teaching going on in those schools. Just like you mentioned, the girls, boys, they don't know where they're at in their sexuality. It's a false teaching that's going on in the schools.
Creates confusion. Please understand, nobody's throwing anybody under the bus here today.
No.
We're just saying we need to be light in a dark place.
Yes.
Amen.
Second Sunday of every month at 5 o'clock, we're praying for the school. This month will be a True Life Assembly of God Church. We say we believe in prayer, but we don't show up when there's a prayer meeting. The second Sunday of February at 5 o'clock, we're going to pray for the schools. We want teachers there. We want faculty there, we want administration there, we want parents there, we want students there. We're going to make a difference.
Come and pray.
We are going to make a difference. But everyone in this place has to take some sense of responsibility for it, or it's not going to happen.
Amen. We're going to pray again and then call it a day. Father, just thank you for your life. I thank you for each person who shared their heart this morning. It's true. We're the church. We're the body. It's not about people just coming to hear somebody. It's about us hearing from each other. More than that, God, it's about us hearing from you. We invite you, Jesus. We invite you into our life right now. We invite you into our party. We invite you into... I just encourage you. Invite Jesus into wherever you're at, whether you're driving back and forth to school, whether you're struggling, wherever you're at, invite him in. God, we invite you in to make a difference and a hope in our life. And again, God, we just pray for this little girl's family. We ask you to bring peace. We pray for the school administrators, the school directors. We pray for teachers. God, give them peace. Give them a hope, a direction. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the truth and just how drastically we need you back in our school systems and in our lives. Thank you, God, for your goodness towards this family and this school and this body. Thank you for your goodness towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go out and shine your light this week, folks.